This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, well, we're hoping to have Dr. David Black on with us this evening, and if not, why, we'll get Lou Epton on, and Lou Epton's going to be our guest for the next hour anyway. And Lou has his own program, does it down in, as I remember, in either Reno or Las Vegas. No, he does it in Las Vegas. And I've been a guest on his program many times, so I thought I'd return the courtesy and have him on as a guest on my program. You know, there it's a small number of people that like Lou and like John Leffler and like John Spring is a frequent guest on our program. Derry Danfield, Joyce Riley, Alex Jones. We could probably name five more across America that are out there that are just talking, certainly, about Butch Palm, Ernie Sanders. There are people who are doing talk radio trying to educate the American people what's going on. And certainly one of them right now is with us, and his name is Lou Epton. Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
Good evening, Doc. I'm doing well. Excuse me. Well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on an hour early, basically, our regularly scheduled guest. All we got was an answering machine, so.
I've had that happen myself.
Well, I thought maybe you wouldn't mind coming on an hour early, because how many hours a day do you do with your talk radio program?
I'm only going for an hour and a half lately.
All right. Well, of course, you've done a lot longer than that at times, though. So
yeah, I've gone 3 and 4 hours.
Right, and so you know, when you can do 3 or 4 hours, why 2 hours? That's absolutely nothing at all. And Lou is going to tell us a little bit about some new information he has on TWA 800. You remember? It happened. What was that? 1996 or 1997?
96, I believe. Yeah.
All right. I think it was 96 too.
July 17th.
Right. Okay. And of course, it was just shortly there was going to be some elections coming up there, and mm-hmm. then of course there was another incident very shortly after that, within a week or two, there was a bomb that went off at the Olympics in Atlanta.
I remember.
And the question was, you know, of course we were told why. Of course, it was this local guard that they did it. I believe it was a terrorist attack, an Islamic terrorist attack, but there was a conscious, organized effort coordinated by our government not to let the American people know about the Islamic terrorist movement. The government knew it. They'd been monitoring going back to 1988. In fact, I don't know if you've ever seen that video, Jihad in America, but they had films the FBI took in 1988 where they had the Islamic terrorists in Oklahoma and all across this country recruiting people for a violent revolution in America, a violent jihad in America. And this was kept totally under wraps. They did not want the American people to know. They had the pictures of them. Training camps in the East, just outside of New York, with their automatic weapons. And that the film was put out in 1994 and actively suppressed in the United States because they did not want anybody to see that film. We have it now. It's available, Jihad in America. But you pick up the story there, Lou, because apparently you have some information. Oh, hold just a moment here.
Sure.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Lou, and tell us what you've learned about TWA 800.
Well, to begin with, forgive me this, but this government has lied to us so continuously for so long, and people still accept it. And the unfortunate truth is that your networks are nothing more than propaganda machines for the government. They're not reporting anything that the government says you're not supposed to know. Well, doggone it, I think we are supposed to know, and I think we're supposed to do whatever it is needs being done. Now, I picked up an article out of Paris involving, do you remember former newsman Pierre Salinger? Well, he insisted again last Thursday, that a Navy missile was what downed TWA Flight 800, this time offering. He's got 69 pages of documents and a set of radar images that'll bolster his case. Well, okay, let's go to the incident itself. There were over 200 witnesses there in New York, and the government just managed not to interview anybody of any credibility, and there were some very credible witnesses there, and they all claimed, including pilots, that they saw missiles going up toward the plane. Well, anyway, the FBI, the Pentagon, and of course the Federal Air Safety Investigations previously have discredited the theory which spread through the Internet following the July 17th crash. On Thursday, National Transportation Safety Board Chairman, a man by the name of James Hall, called Salinger's allegations irresponsible. Well, fine. That didn't surprise anyone. All 230 people aboard the Boeing 747 were killed when the plane went down to the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Long Island. At the news conference, Salinger and Mike Sommer, friend, an investigative reporter, former Salinger colleague, at ABC News, showed radar images that they said were taken from an air traffic control video from JFK International Airport, which is where the flight originated. Now, the images also released in Paris, Match Magazine, Thursday, shows a blip identified as Flight 800 and another blip heading toward it. And Salinger claims it's the missile that brought on the plane. The tape completely confirms a missile fired on TWA 800, according to Pierre Salinger. Now, at the news conference, Salinger and Sommer claimed the missile was fired during a super-secret U.S. Navy exercise off Long Island and was meant to target a Tomahawk missile, but hit Flight 800 instead when it lost its lock on the original target. And then they claimed the missile was either a kinetic energy missile or a continuous rod missile. Sommer said the kinetic missile would explode near the target, and a continuous rod missile would slice right through the plane.
Hold that thought just a moment. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton, and he is simply discussing an article that out of Paris where Pierre Salinger, former senator, former, I've forgotten what he had, a very high position in the Kennedy administration, Pierre Salinger had actually given a press conference, and he had, of course, testimony from a number of people who'd seen the missile, and then, of course, he had pictures of radar pictures that had been taken by radar analysis, actually showing the missile approaching the plane. And of course, Pierre Salinger's position was that this was a Navy missile that was supposed to hit a Tomahawk missile. And of course, instead of locking on the Tomahawk missile as it was supposed to, why it locked on to, of course, TWA 800 and brought it down. And the government could not admit that this is what happened. So pick up the story there, Lou. Now, how long ago was this article by Pierre Salinger?
Just a couple of days.
Really? Okay, so it's a fairly recent article.
I got this report, and this is what impressed me. You know, I wasn't there. I don't know. It's just, forgive me this. I love this country, but I sure don't trust this government. All right? His report says, a witness's monitoring secret Navy anti-terrorism exercises reportedly heard a male voice say, quote, "Oh my God, I just hit that plane." Salinger said there was, to his knowledge, no audio tape of a U.S. sailor saying a missile from his ship had shot down TWA 800. Instead, Salinger said he spoke with the father of a sailor who said his son told him, "Dad, we shot it down." As a matter of fact, I'm trying to get a hold of the young man's father. I'd like to have him on my program, and I believe you probably would like to have him on yours.
Oh, I would love to. I would really would. In fact, if you get him, I'll trade you two great guests for that one.
Here again, two Russian satellites active above the scene of the disaster produced videotapes showing a missile hitting the TWA aircraft, according to the report that Salinger released in Paris.
And, of course, this is released recently in Paris, and not a word to the controlled media here in the United States.
Surprised?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
The thing is, you know, now the government story, of course, is that a spark ignited in an empty fuel tank. And a lot of the airlines had to recheck their fuel tanks and do whatever the government suggested to prevent such a tragedy happening again. Except, you know, I've got a lot of questions, Doc, and I really would like some answers. I think a lot of us really would like some answers. I think we're capable of handling whatever answers we hear. We're human beings. We're prone to mistakes. Things do happen. It's the world we live in. But to continue with their, and you know how they, government people always speak in unison. They dare not speak otherwise. So I don't know if it was really a mistake by the Navy with an experimental situation, if it was a terrorist. You know, it's interesting you mentioned how many thousand Iraqis were brought to the country after the first Iraq war. You know, 1,500 of them happened to settle in Oklahoma City.
Right.
And we blame everything on Lee Harvey Oswald and Terry Nichols. And yet, and I'm jumping off topic for a moment, but again, the government, the nation's leading bomb expert, General Benton Parton. Have you heard of him?
Sure, I know. We've interviewed Ben many times. He's
a wonderful
man.
And you know, he says that the ammonium nitrate could not have cut the building the way it was destroyed.
And you're speaking now of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Yes, I am.
April 1996, right.
So, I mean, I've got a list of things that are all... I just have a lot of questions.
Now, I guess that should have been April 1995, wasn't it? April 19th, 1995, because it was, I think, just 2 years after Waco.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was the following year, of course, TWA 800 came down. And well, I don't. Have you ever seen that video, Silence, that was put out by Jim Sanders and his friend who put that together? They actually had the hearings, Federal Aviation Administration hearings, or Transportation Administration, FTA hearings, there, you know, and they would have these people from the government tell you what the witnesses saw. And then, of course, they went out and talked to the witnesses, and those people who were testifying under oath were frankly lying. They would not bring any of the witnesses, there were 200 of them, that saw the missiles go up. None of them were allowed to testify. You just had government agents telling you what the witnesses said. And then when you see the video, it's called Silence, which we do carry. Why, then, of course, the story was exactly the opposite. In other words, those people got up and under oath they lied, and nothing has ever been done, because they cannot let the American people know the truth about that, or what really happened at Oklahoma City, or what really happened on 9/11. I almost have a feeling, Lou, that these were all trials to see how effective they could bamboozle the American people and conceal the truth about what happened.
And you're absolutely right. You know, you'll learn more about what's going on here in these United States of America reading a foreign press than you will the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the Chicago Tribune, or anybody in between. And it's a darn shame. I mean, it really is. I mean, what's going on right now in this country, to me, is very frightening. You know, I grew up, like a lot of people, believing everything that the government was wonderful, it was good, it was there for our protection. And when I woke up, it was like with a bang, and I don't mean to sound like a total radical kook, I keep asking people, please prove me wrong. I will be so happy if you can prove me wrong. Going back to the Kennedy assassination, the government wants you to believe that it was Lee Harvey Oswald and nobody else. Come on. And so many incidents from then till now, and there were incidents even before Lee Harvey. But things like the TWA story is just glaring at me right now because I only got this information so recently. I know the information has been out there before, but nothing is credible.
Well, I think that's amazing. If he's really got pictures, you know, the Soviet pictures, you know, because they have their satellites up there, too, and they can see those missiles coming up, and they would have the record of that. I wonder how he got that. I'm sure he did, because I think Pierre Salinger is a very credible source, although he has been certainly demonized and radicalized and attacked and vilified for daring to question what the government has said. In fact, they have sort of a standard technique. Anybody who doesn't go along with the system is equated with believing in black helicopters.
They're demonized.
Believing in little men with pointed heads who come from outer space. And the worst thing is why they don't even believe the story that Lee Harvey Oswald killed President Kennedy all by himself.
I know. I know. You put all these pieces of the puzzle together, and it's not a very pretty picture. And things are going on right now that there is no logical explanation for. I mean, yes, I wanted to talk about what I found out regarding TWA Flight 800. On my program, I'm talking a lot about the illegal immigration, and you know as well as I do, if you do something illegal, you'll be locked up so rapidly you won't know what hit you. But it's a whole different scenario because it's destabilizing many parts of our country.
And that, I believe, is exactly what they want to do. They want to create a situation of crime and, of course, hostility. And, of course, they reward people who come into this country illegally. Here in California, they can go to college. And they pay less than an American citizen who lives in Nevada and wants to come to one of our colleges. They have to pay the full fee. But if you are an illegal alien here in California, why you get especially discounted
education? Oh, no, you're paying for it.
Right.
The legal citizens in this country, most all of us, are paying for all of these benefits, which are totally ridiculous. You know, the first, one of the biggest duties of the federal government is to protect our borders. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
They're a far cry from doing it, and it's not anything to do with Mexican people. I had a call today. I had two calls today. Both of them were from Mexican individuals, Mexican women, who are here legally. And they're as upset as anybody about what's going on regarding the illegal immigration. And the worst part of it is, it's not just Mexicans coming across the border. We're getting people from everywhere, including Iraq.
Sure.
And nobody seems to care. I mean, people just go along. They don't want to believe these things. They don't want to hear about them. Nobody's knocking on their door. They feel safe and secure. Well, they're going to wake up one day, and they're going to be those who ask, what happened? Because it'll be too late.
And then, of course, you know, the average American doesn't stop and think that they're closing down the trauma centers here in California, in area after area. And the reason that they're doing that is because illegal aliens will go in to a trauma center. They have to be taken care of. There is no compensation for it at all. They're going into our hospitals. Over 90% of the children born at the Los Angeles County Hospital are born to illegal aliens, and they don't pay for their health care. They can go to any hospital in this country, go into the emergency room. They have to be taken care of for nothing. Since they are illegal, they can't get any state subsidies. This is bankrupting hospitals. All along the southern border, hospitals are closing down, and that is going to impact on every citizen. They're driving up the cost of health care in this country because they're here illegally and they're not paying for health care. They get free health care, and you and I have to pay for our health care.
We're also paying for theirs.
Right, and of course, they're bringing in all sorts of diseases and drug-resistant tuberculosis, epidemics of whooping cough down along the border because they're coming in. Of course, they bring in the whooping cough and leprosy and other diseases with them. And where is the outcry from the ever-American people? What people do not understand is this is all being subsidized by our government, and specifically the organizations for illegal immigrants are being funded by the Ford Foundation.
Yeah.
Lulac, Mal Dave, and we carry a book called Supporting Revolution, written by a former congressional aide, going into the background of how this whole thing is coordinated by people of great wealth and great power. Is there a better way to destroy a nation than what we're doing?
Why are they doing it? What is the end goal?
Well, we'll be back in just a minute. Maybe we can invite our listeners out there to give a call. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd like your input, your thoughts, and have a question for Lou Epton. We'd love to hear it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Lou Epton. And, of course, Lou was asking, why are they doing this? Lou, I think there are people who want to disrupt our society. I believe there are people who want to be able to play, Latinos against the Anglos, the Anglos against the blacks against the white, the Anglos against the Hispanics. And what we have to do is not let them do it. We need all people, whether they're black or Hispanic, or whether they're red or yellow, or whether they're white, everybody who values freedom, who loves America, we've got to stand shoulder to shoulder in this battle. Because I believe that there are wicked people, and specifically in organizations like the Ford Foundation.
Rockefeller Foundation.
Right. The whole thing, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been pushing socialism and revolution because they want to destabilize our country because, well, I believe, of course, that they are tied into what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness.
Yeah.
And they would destroy America and replace it with this world fascist system with themselves in the positions of leadership.
Well, you know, if you study history, it's interesting to note, at any time when there was a democracy in the past, they've all failed, and they've turned into totalitarian states. Now, you know, we talk about recent events. This was a great experiment, these United States of America, and wow, it was working just beautifully. I don't think we've ever been looked at by the Britons as other than colonies. There is a move, and I think most people, if they don't know it, it won't surprise them, toward what they call a globalist one-world government. And you've got a few elites, and then the rest of us. And the few elites who say they're so much smarter than all of us. This has been going on, I think, from the day this country was born, quite frankly, or very close to it. Look at the events over the how many years. First of all, understand the Constitution. It's a very valid document, and it's as good today as it was the day it was written. We're not a democracy according to the Constitution. We're a constitutional republic. But you never hear that mentioned anymore. You know, everything is democracy, democracy. Well, we're democratizing Iraq. Well, they can take our democracy because it's not working that well here, quite frankly. We've been intentionally dumbing down our children since the early 60s, really. And, I mean, we're graduating functional illiterates today from our schools. You can go back, what was it, 1913, the Federal Reserve System. Everything seems to have a financial base. The income tax. I'm sorry, but the truth be known, and I'm not going to get into a big debate about this. I like what a friend of mine, Mr. Schiff, Erwin Schiff, has to say regarding the income tax. And I don't mean to bounce around that much. It's just so much to be to be talked about. He says, show me the law that requires me to pay, because there is none. There really isn't. You can go through the IRS code book. Most of it doesn't even pertain to individual taxes.
Of course, they will make your life very miserable.
Well, they have the power to do it.
Right.
Well, they have the power to do it.
Well, let's go to Julius, who's calling us from Marianna, Arizona. Hi, Julius. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Stan. It's called Marianna, Arizona.
Marianna, Arizona. Okay, fine. Hold just a moment. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton, and we have Julius calling from Marianna, Arizona. Are you listening on the Internet or shortwave?
I'm listening on the Internet, Dr. Stan, on the RBN network.
Okay, very good. Well, do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Yeah, I do have a comment. It's kind of twofold. One is when you were talking about the situation with the shoot down of TWA Flight 800. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was feeding Mr. Salinger some disinformation, and the reason I say that is years ago there at late night on a low power FM station there was a live interview with Commander Donaldson, the retired air crash investigator from the Navy.
Right.
And he had on a lady named Janet Russell from Long Island, New York, and she had been having a cookout that night with friends in the evening when that airliner was shot down. And just over a slight little rise, a little bit of a hill, she heard two loud hissing noises, kind of like air compressors being vented, and she looked over her shoulder and saw two white streaks going straight up. And didn't think much of it other than, well, you know, somebody shooting off some fireworks, you know, is that, what the heck did she know? But shortly after that, she heard the explosions and looked up and saw the debris raining down and the part of the fuselage on fire. Yeah. And Commander Donaldson testified that he had heard through scuttlebutt that Bill Clinton had been confirmed at 1 o'clock in the morning that evening, an hour after midnight, that he dropped in some Navy SEAL divers, and they had discovered a hole punched through one of the aircraft parts that indicated a small missile had run through it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them actually hit. And I have that recording. Unfortunately, Commander Donaldson is dead, but I recorded that, and I put it on a website, and I'd invite anyone that would like to listen to it. I'll give you the URL. It's quite simple.
Why don't you put that right out, Julius.
Yeah, it's called simmeringfrogs.com.
Simmering Frogs, one word, huh?
Yes, simmeringfrogs, with an S, .com. And you scroll down towards the bottom of the page, and there's a link called, well, I better go just look at it right here. So I don't get it wrong. And second
let
here.
Me just point out for our listeners, we actually have two four-tape sets of interviews on TWA 800, and we have several interviews, probably three interviews with Commander Donaldson, maybe four of them. Commander Donaldson has passed away, but we have interviews with Major Fritz Myers, I remember. I've forgotten all the names. And then, of course, this wonderful video called Silence. And there's no question that there are a lot of stories out there that are designed to confuse. In fact, we even carry a book by Peter Lance, of course, which says that the bomb was on top in the plane. And I believe that they are intentionally feeding false information. But I think the one thing is that there were missiles that brought the plane down. Now, all the other details, whether it was terrorists, whether it was the Navy, I don't think it really matters. I mean, the thing is, we know they're lying to us. We may never know the full story.
Yeah, that's the important thing to remember, is that they are lying. But I know that Fletcher Prouty was a distant cousin of mine, and he always said that the best information always comes out in moments after something happens, before it can get quieted up.
Well, you're absolutely right. In fact, we have a two-hour interview with Fletcher Prouty in our four-tape set on this.
I've talked to him. I've interviewed him. He's a fascinating
He really was a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm just so glad we got those interviews, and we have them recorded for posterity. And that's
thank
the
so
JFK
much.
Assassination tape. Do you have the all the details there, Julius?
Yes. Yes, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page there at simmeringfrogs.com, there's a large link that in bold type, and it's kind of in a purplish color. It says, My Best of Internet Radio Archive.
Hmm.
You click on that, and Commander Donaldson's interview is the very first subject on that page.
Well, thank you so very much for calling, Julius, and thank you so very much for letting us know about your website. And, you know, there's so much great information up there on the web.
It really is.
Of course, what we need to do is get people getting it. And then, of course, learning how, of course, to discriminate between CIA disinformation or the other intelligence agencies. We've got 15 intelligence agencies. They're all trying to confuse us. Why? Because I believe that there is a brotherhood of darkness that is working at the highest levels of our government to conceal the truth from the American people. And that is, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battle field. And until we recognize that, we're going to continue losing. Anything else you want to say, Julius, before we let you go?
No, just thank you and have a good night.
Good night. God bless.
Appreciate your support.
I'm not saying that's really right.
Hold that
right
there.
I do know. Is that if the government is right again.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton, and of course he has his own talk show down there in Las Vegas. In fact, he is on the sister station to the program I do every afternoon here in, out of Salinas on KKMC, and he's on another station that owned by the same people up there in Las Vegas, and of course they've got a tremendous outreach. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Lou is saying that he's not saying that, of course, everything Pierre Salinger said is absolutely true. There may be some of it that's false, but there's no question at all that the plane was shot down by missiles, and what the government has said is untrue. But they will actually feed good people false information. And
yeah.
I've seen this over and over again, haven't you, Lou?
Oh, and how. Time and again. You know, you mentioned that the first reports are generally accurate. Let's go back to Oklahoma City for just a moment. You're familiar, I've got to believe, there was a TV station down there that was reporting the fact that there were bombs within the building. And you know that station shortly after that went off the air and then was sold. And now it's just, if it's still on, and I understand it probably is, but it's just another station reporting the same thing you're getting on every other station. We've got one wire service here in the country, Associated Press, and our newscasts, both nationally and locally, I think have become comedy programs, except for what's going on locally. Somebody gets murdered or there's a big car accident or the weather. But beyond that, what they're not reporting is far more important than what they are reporting. And insofar as investigative journalists, I don't think they really exist.
Well, there was an excellent one. His name was Gary Webb. And you remember Gary Webb worked for the San Jose Mercury. He had a Pulitzer Prize. He was an excellent investigative reporter. And he did a series of articles on the CIA involvement of at least working with people who were selling drugs and allowing it and not blocking the sale of drugs by people associated with the Contras. And his story was absolutely true. In fact, it led to a GAO investigation, and we have copies of that GAO investigation of the CIA and drugs. There's no question the CIA was actively involved in allowing the drugs to be sold in this country. And, of course, they went after Gary Webb, and the CIA got him fired. They got to the point he could not get a job anywhere in the country. What he said was absolutely true, but they targeted him for destruction. And recently, within the last month, he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head 2 times. Gee, he must have really been really very, very dedicated to killing himself, to shoot himself in the head 2 times.
Yeah.
And I know because one of our...
Oh, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, we were just talking about, of course, how they will get you if you tell the truth. And Lou was saying we just don't have very many investigative journalists. I was pointing out the story of Gary Webb. And of course, we actually have a book called Into the Buzzsaw, where Gary Webb writes an article telling about, of course, the CIA involvement with the drug smuggling and allowing the drugs to come into this country. They were working with the Contras who were smuggling drugs to pay for their arms, and the CIA was working with them and allowing it to happen. The GAO investigated that. Well, of course, the CIA went after Gary Webb, got him blacklisted so he couldn't get a job anyplace, and recently, up in the Sacramento area, he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. Now, I can understand him shooting himself in the head one time, but twice. We actually, one of our listeners hired an investigator go up to see the body, and there were two bullet holes there. There were no powder burns, and they said, well, it was just that the gun was pressed so hard against the skull that all the powder went inside. None of it, of course, was on the skull. So you can imagine, after he'd shot himself one time, the second time he then put the gun so firmly against his head, the second time, that there'd be no powder burns. If anybody believes that story, they have to have a lot more faith in what the government tells us than I do.
You know, that's one of a lot of stories. I don't know why, but you reminded me all the suicides that have taken place, especially under the Clinton administration. Vince Foster, I mean, come on. And that's been disproven so adamantly that anyone who still buys the story the government put out has either got to be brain dead or just dreaming. I mean, Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce, his plane that crashed over in, where was it? But it didn't kill him, and the autopsy showed a bullet hole in his head. Admiral Borda was a very well-respected admiral in uniform, and people knew his habits, and he decided to commit suicide as well.
By shooting himself in the chest?
Yeah.
You know, I'd never heard of a Marine shooting himself. If he wanted to kill himself, he'd put the gun in his mouth. He wouldn't have shot himself in the chest.
Oh, well. But these are the stories that we're being fed, and we're supposed to accept them and go blindly on our way. But I'll tell you, Doc, as long as people have their sports activities on television, and as long as they're free to suck up another beer, and as long as they're free to go to work, to them this is absolute, total freedom. Nobody knows, very few people are aware what the Constitution was about, what it was intended to do, and probably fewer even care. And I think that's just a darn shame. And you really have to wonder sometimes, are we capable of real freedom?
Well, of course, the only way you can have freedom for the people is if the people are moral and responsible. You either will have a limited government and moral people, or you'll have people with no morality, and then, of course, you have to have a totalitarian government to maintain law and order, because one way or another, the people have to rule themselves, or they will be ruled, or as William Penn had said so well, those will not be ruled by God.
We're taking God out of the picture now. Almost on a daily basis, you get articles about what they're doing here, there, or somewhere. I just don't understand it. I'm sorry. I just don't understand. I do, but I guess I do and I don't, because why would anyone care to destroy a nation?
Well, because, you see, if they want to establish this world government, they first of all have to do away with America, because America certainly could turn this whole thing around. It is the America's military might and America's financial power that is moving the world towards this world government, this world fascist or corporate fascist society. But if the American people should ever wake up and see what's happening, they could thwart this entire plan. And so they have to destroy this country. They have to dumb down our people. They have to poison their minds with fluoride or with aspartame or with mercury or with drugs or with vaccines or with... It's so many of the things that we're under attack in today, and the average person has no grasp of what's going on. Well, we've got Troy calling in from Pacific Grove. Hi, Troy. Do you have a comment for our guest or a question?
Yes, I wanted to just tell you what I had learned about... what Gary Webb was working on whenever his last investigation. was it had to do with Enron, and Enron went to the 7 or 8 major newspaper organizations. We're going to say Gannett, Knight Ridder, Tribune, USA Today, and offered them back in the 90s, early 90s, I think 91, an insurance contract on the price per ton of newsprint. And the insurance price was at $400 a ton, and they offered this guaranteed insurance to the large print publishers. That price went over that, they would pay the difference, and it was under that, they would pay the difference and the premium. And then they went offshore and set up a company in one of the Cayman Islands, I believe it was, and began buying up print stock futures and drove the price to up over $800 a ton. And every independent paper in the United States folded and went into bankruptcy. And they're now all owned by those same insured group because they're the only ones that survived. Rocky Mountain News survived barely.
Now, where did you hear this story?
This was on a radio interview, and also it's backed up with an article in the San Jose Mercury. Within about 6 months after the filing of bankruptcy, Knight Ridder placed a claim against the bankruptcy because Enron hadn't paid several years of the overtonnage in their insurance. And so it's an article in the paper.
Well, if you could get that for me, I'd certainly like to see it, Troy. Have you heard anything at all about that, Lou?
No, I don't think so.
I really haven't either. So, Troy, if you could get me a copy of that, that Mercury article, I would certainly appreciate it.
Well, I don't have a way to research the Mercury from where I live.
I see. Well, let's see if maybe you can go up on the Internet and see if you can track it down, because it's a fascinating story. I know Enron was involved in all sorts of crooked things, but I had never heard that at all. And, of course,
Well, you can imagine that they would take him out to keep that story from getting out. You know, I feel a little risky even bringing this up, but I care too much now. I can't say I don't care. I care so much that I just want to say this.
All right, fine. Well, Troy,
I'll do my best to get that to you.
You see if you can get that for me. And thanks so much. In fact, I'll never forget. Shortly after the 911 attack, somebody came on the program just a few days afterwards and said, you know, Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco, was warned the night before the 911 attack that he should be very careful flying on 911, warned by his security people. And I said, well, now, I haven't read that, and I really can't let you say that in my program. You're going to have to get me the documentation on that. Send me the article. Well, a couple of days later, here comes this entire, a full page out of the San Jose Mercury. And the story was essentially as I laid it out. I called the public relations manager for Willie Brown. He confirmed the story to me. What was so interesting is it only appeared in one edition of the San Francisco Chronicle. It was there, the early edition. It was pulled out all of the other editions. It was taken off the Internet. And I'll never forget going to a meeting with Joe Ferry. You know who Joe is?
I sure do.
And, of course, I was mentioning the article to Joe, and he said, you know, I've tried to verify that. He said, I've been up on the Chronicle's Internet. It's not there. I mean, we've looked at the pages from the newspaper that day. This was on the 12th of September. And we couldn't find it. And I reached in my pocket and I said, Joe, let me give you an article. One of those rare times, you know, it's just wonderful. And we actually, of course, offer that to our listeners. We've made copies of that, many of them, and sent them out across America. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they knew the attack was coming. Willie Brown was notified the evening before not to fly or be very careful flying the next day, and that was confirmed to me by his press officer. So obviously they had advanced knowledge, but they didn't tell a lot of people about that. But the only thing I can say is they were very, very considerate. These are the most considerate terrorists in the whole world, because all those planes had hardly, I mean, one plane had about 25% of the normal occupancy, one had about 20, one had about 18, one had about 16% of the normal occupancy. Wasn't that was considerate of those terrorists?
Well, you know, I keep asking my audience, if anybody has a picture anywhere of any kind showing any part of any plane hitting the Pentagon on 911. I sure appreciate it, because I can't find one anywhere, including on the Internet. I really don't think the Pentagon was ever hit by a plane.
It was hit by something, but the question was, what was it?
Well, it's got a marvelous lawn if you look at the photographs closely.
And, of course, this plane was apparently just coming right in at the ground level.
Well, you would have thought that some parts of something would have been available, you know, seen somewhere. But, again, you know, and you were talking about Enron. I had a marvelous guy. I have him on fairly frequently. His name is Andrew Goss. He's out of New Jersey. And he wrote a book called Uncle Sam Cooks the Books. And it makes Enron look like a beginner. Because if the public was aware of how these books are being juggled back in D.C., I got to believe people would be kind of upset.
Well, they ought to be, when they, especially when they find out that we just lost $9 billion over in Iraq, and we have no idea what happened to it. It just sort of disappeared when Paul Bremer was there. Maybe that's why Paul Bremer and Henry Kissinger are smiling so much, because Bremer works for Henry Kissinger. Well, let's go to Bill, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Bill, do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, Stan. Yes, I want to thank you for having Lou on. I haven't heard his voice in years. Back when I was in Los Angeles, I wanted to take a chance with both of you on the phone, that you might have an answer to. In fact, we were even at dinners that Peter Ford threw in Los Angeles. I was wondering if either one of you ever knew what happened to Peter Ford.
To who?
Peter Ford. This was
Peter Ford. Yes.
He did a great job on the radio, like both of you.
He sure did. I've had him on a number of times. He got off the air. He was running for several offices in California, and they saw to it that he was defeated. I know he was running for a school position on the school board.
Right.
That's the last I heard of him, when he was running for school board. Have you heard of anything since?
No, I guess he's just leading a quiet life, continuing his own investigations. And thank you, because it reminds me, I've been wanting to call him and talk to him again.
Now, for our listeners out there, this is Glenn Ford's son, and Glenn Ford, Peter was sort of looking after his father, living in the big estate that they have there in Beverly Hills, and Peter was just the nicest guy in the world. And I think that when, of course, he came under tremendous attack, and then when he lost that election, I think it just took all the wind out of his sails. And, I think he really was sort of down. I think we all get down. Once in a while, I've gotten down. I've dropped out of the battle. I dropped out in the early 1970s. I was just going to, that was it. I was going to just forget about the whole thing. But, you know, you really can't. And I suspect that one day Peter will be back with us.
I'd love to contact him, but he did a wonderful job.
Did I mention that my show is still being available through the Internet?
You certainly can. Please do.
All right. On the webpage, you go to LouEptonShow.com.
LouEptonShow.com.
And we stream daily at 1:30 Pacific time till 3 p.m.
All right. Now, okay, and then they just keep playing the program over and over again then?
No, I'm afraid not. But,
okay, so is it archived at all?
I wish it was, but forgive me, I'm a one-man operation, and I only have so much time to do whatever, and right now I'm not in the position of archiving. I do have tapes from the last 13 years that I've been on the air here in town.
Why don't you just put out your telephone number, your address, so people, if they'd like to get a copy of your tapes, because I'm sure you've got lots of fascinating ones.
Well, I can be reached, if you've got pencils or pens handy. You write to me, Lou Epton, E-P-T-O-N, P-M-B, like in post mail box, number 270. The address is 3230 East Flamingo, number 8, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121. 89121.
All right, we give that one more time, because it's hard for people to get that. First of all, what is the website?
Lou Epton Show.
Lou Epton Show, okay.
It gives the lineup for the week. And my address again, well, it's on the website, but again, it's Lou Epton, PMB 270 at 3230 East Flamingo, F-L-A-M-I-N-G-O, number 8, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121.
Okay, 89121. Bill, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I just have much respect for you and both Lou, and just I'm glad you're both out there still doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, thank you so very much for calling, Bill. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Lou, Lou is, of course, good enough to fill in for me because the guest for the first hour wasn't available. Lou, will you be able to stay the second hour with us?
A part of it, but not entirely.
All right, fine. Well, when you have to take off, why, you go right ahead, and we'll just sort of do open lines, and we'll chat back and forth about what's going on. And, you know, I think we have to separate certainly America, the America we love, from the government, which I believe has been taken over by a group of very, very wicked people. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, but some people call them the establishment, and some people call them the invisible government, and some people call them the power elite. And Professor Quigley referred to them in his book as the Anglo-American establishment. But they work through many organizations. They have one goal, and that is the world government under a corporate fascist elite. This is what I believe. But I believe this whole thing is energized by spiritual forces. And until we recognize that there is a spiritual component behind this whole thing, I don't think we can understand what's going on. And I think the ideas go back to Plato. And, of course, Plato was deeply involved with the occult. He was into the mystery religions. And in his book, The Republic, he talked about this this idea of this perfect society where you would have this ruling oligarchy ruled over by one man, and that was the ideal society as far as he was concerned. And of course he believed in Lost Atlantis, and in his dialogues he wrote about Lost Atlantis. And really the whole idea is to restore Lost Atlantis, this ideal utopian society that existed before the Great Flood.
Unfortunately, have you ever run across a Dr. John Coleman?
Yes, I have.
He is an amazing individual. His book, The Committee of 300, I think goes a long way in explaining everything happening right now.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And my producer says we're not going to be able to get hold of Black tonight, Dr. Black tonight. So we'll have to have him on some other evening. But Lou F. Dunn will be with us part of the evening and next hour. And when he gets off, why, you better call, or, well, if you're going to have to hear a long, long, painful dialogue or monologue. We'll be here in just a moment and back in just a moment with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Lou is talking about Dr. John Coleman and his book, The Committee of 300. Do you want to pick up on that thought?
Well, it's interesting because I loved having him on, and I did a number of times. And the last time I contacted him, he said, Lou, I'd love to, but I can't even affect, and I'm paraphrasing, if I continue doing this, I might find myself in a very bad accident.
Well, I'm sure that, of course, there are people who do not like us, people like you and me and John Coleman talking about what's going on.
Oh, that's unfortunately the truth. You know, when you look ahead, I've got to wonder if in 10 years, if we'll still be a sovereign nation. I mean that quickly. I honestly think that within 10 years, this nation as we know it will become nothing more than a state. A state of the Americas. And people will just go along and say, gee, that's great too. And that's the tragedy of it all.
Well, I think that people really don't understand the significance of the FTAA, this Union of the Americas, the CAFTA, this Union of Central America. What they really want to do is do here in the Western Hemisphere what they've done in Europe, to unite all these countries together with a common currency, a common no trade barriers, and, of course, with a common government that will supersede the constitutions of the individual nations and create effectively a fascist society under controlling bureaucracy. Because under the European Union, why, the parliaments of the individual nations, the duly elected parliaments of those individual nations, lose all of their power, and you transfer the power to the bureaucracy. And I've talked to people who belong to the European Union. We have them on our program on a regular basis, about every 2 weeks, one or another. And one of them actually is a member of the European Union. He's a member of the parliament. And he says, you know, we can pass all the laws we want to, but the bureaucracy runs things.
Yeah.
And I think this is exactly what's planned here. And the average American has no idea. And one of the advantages of the war in Iraq for our ruling elite is it is a wonderful distraction. Oh, yes, a lot of people die over there, and that's too bad, but it's a wonderful distraction. So the American people, while our attention is focused on the flag-draped coffins that are coming back from Iraq, we're not seeing what's happening here in America today.
You're right. And they're not going to hear about it on your nightly news either. You know, there's three main things I talk about on my program. I spend a great deal of time exposing the fraud of the healthcare system in our country, and it scares me. Now, recently
you're going to have to hold it up for just a moment, because we'll be back in just a moment with Lou Epton. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's primarily how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on a satellite, and sometimes on a couple of satellites, and then, of course, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and this evening program is actually heard on two shortwave frequencies of 7.535 and 5.835. So, but believe me, every month those bills do come around, so if you believe there's a problem and you'd like to become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. HIV war, WAR, because we are at war. America, our families, our future, our freedom are under attack today.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that people can do really to help, if you're interested in perhaps getting a case of Brotherhood of Darkness, my book goes into the background of what's going on, and certainly into the spiritual forces that are at work. Now, we actually reprinting the book, and because the books you print, the less they cost. And so we have a wonderful, wonderful offer that we can put out, and we can't mention it exactly what it is, but if you'd like to know what it is, it's really almost unbelievable. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, you have to get the full case of books, which is 62 books, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we need, of course, to have 40 cases out. We've already got orders for 18 cases, and we haven't even put out our newsletter, which will be going out at the end of this week, and I think that we're going to do a lot better than we need. In fact, we may even print additional books, because I would far rather have people have copies of these books and get them in other people's hands. That is how we're going, of course, to get more and more people to understand how all of these various disparate organizations fit together. How do you explain Skull and Bones? How do you explain the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Club of Rome, or the Theosophists, or the Rosicrucians, or the Masons, or how do you put this into and connect this all to the central banking, or the great tax exempt foundations, or communism and socialism and humanism, and how do you put all of this together and make any sense out of it? Because there's so much information out there. Is there a common denominator? And, of course, that's what the book tells you. So if you'd be interested in helping us, and, of course, being able to have a case of those books that you can hand them out, sort of like lollipops, I believe it's a great deal. Well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, which is the January newsletter, the January newsletter is an analysis of a book written by Mr. Joseph Perkins entitled Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And I've checked this story out. It's best I can. I believe it to be true. And it's the story of a man who was recruited by the National Security Agency and then, of course, put to work for a major international corporation. His job was to go into countries and get them to take on massive debt, debt that they could never possibly repay, so that we wouldn't have to enslave people. We would have their governments enslave people, and up to half of all the money collected in taxes by many countries around the world now is funneled back into the International Monetary Fund, which we control, and the World Bank, which we control, and great American financial institutions, which are part of what Joseph Perkin referred to as the corporatocracy. So if you'd like very much to get a copy of my latest newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one free of charge. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like, of course, to get the information on water fluoridation. Again, we can send you either our November or our December newsletter. We'll give you fascinating information you're never going to hear from Rush Limbaugh. Anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Stand back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And well, our guest this evening is Lou Epton. Now, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Lou has a program out of Las Vegas. He's been doing talk radio for a long time, a great wealth of information, and he's kind enough to have me on his program from time to time. I always love to be there. And so he's going to be with us part of this second hour, and when he has to go, he'll let us know. But Lou, what would you like to talk about this hour? Would you like to talk about water fluoridation? What would the subject
I'd
would
love
you like
to
talk
you
about?
You know, I got your newsletter, and I look forward to receiving them every time they come out. And what you had to say about fluoridation, it is so important. This is the greatest scam of the 20th century. But overall, I mean, let me ask you very pointedly, is it normal that 2 out of 3 people in our country anymore either have cancer or will have cancer? Is it normal that the malady we call diabetes is now a plague? I mean, is this what God intended? Or are we doing something very wrong?
I think they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know, because if you look at see what's happening, the whole structure of our society is going to be destroyed about a decade from now. There are going to be more people retired than they're going to be working. We are no way we can keep up this. I should say 10 years from now, the major item in the federal budget, more than defense or anything else, is going to be care of the elderly, Medicare and Social Security. So there's just no way that this can keep going on indefinitely. Every year it's going to get more and more expensive. And before long, there are not going to be as many people working as there are people retired. This is happening all throughout the world because of the abortion policies.
Yep.
They're going to have to do away with the elderly citizens, either that or raise the age of retirement to about 85, because you have to have a physically responsible government. And this is happening in Russia, where they're actually having riots of the older people as they cut their pensions. It's happening in Germany, where they're having riots. Happening in France, where they're having riots from the people as they're cutting their pensions. And they're going to cut the pensions here. It's just a matter of time.
And it's so wrong. I mean, you know, people who want to go into the practice of medicine, I'm sure, are very well intended. But are they aware that the very medical colleges that they're attending and have to go through and pass are funded by the pharmaceutical corporations? Is it any wonder we now have pills for everything? And if you look at the labels on these pills, the side effects, I think, are worse than whatever problem you're suffering. Is it normal that we're drugging our children down with things like Ritalin and Prozac and Lord knows whatever else? And now the government intends to test every child from kindergarten through high school for mental disabilities, and you can be sure they're going to recommend drugging for more people that need. How did we survive when we were youngsters? We didn't have Ritalin. We didn't have ADD and ADHD as we do today. I mean, boys are more active at a young age, and that's quite normal. Well, if a youngster in school today is active, of course he's got ADD. So immediately we've got to put him on drugs. And we're going to continue keeping the individuals on drugs throughout their entire life. It's so wrong. When you look at what they're putting, the aspartame in colas that people are drinking by the gallon, if they had any idea what this potential problems were, what will happen to them as a result of aspartame, the mercury in their fillings, the mercury amalgam fillings that are commonplace, they know mercury is a deadly poison. They'll tell you it's a deadly poison, but if they put it in their mouth, they say, well, no problem, it can't leak.
Hold that thought.
Huh?
Hold that thought. Okay, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I guess this is Lou Upton, and of course, we going to a break there, but you picked the story right up from there, Lou. Go ahead.
All right, I mean, what's wrong with us? You know what, I don't mean to keep sitting here saying what I tell my people. I would tell anybody and everybody, if you really want to stay healthy, stay the heck away from your doctor. Stay the heck away from your doctor as best as you can. And if you've got to go to a doctor, don't go to an MD. Go to an alternate, go to a naturopath or a chiropractor or a homeopath. Are you aware that the royal family in England in their entire life has never had an allopathic physician?
No, I'm not aware of that, but
well,
I would be surprised.
That's true. They're treated by homeopathic physicians. And I find it kind of interesting because here in the U.S., we demonize homeopaths.
I went to a college at the University of California, but it was originally the Haldeman College, and it was a school of homeopathy. And, of course, I didn't even know what homeopathy was, but, of course, some of the people got paid $20 to take a course in homeopathy. And I'd say that there's not one in 100 doctors in America who has any idea what homeopathy is. And yet, of course, you know, I've learned so much about medicine since I retired. And when, of course, you see what they're doing with these medicines, a lot of these medicines are, frankly, harmful to people. In fact, if you read the testimony of Dr. David Graham, who testified, it was maybe about 2 months ago, before a Senate subcommittee, he pointed out that in 1999, Merck knew that there was a sevenfold increase in heart attacks. That's a sevenfold increase in heart attacks of people who took Vioxx. Now, knowing full well that this was going to be killing people, they did another study where they compared Vioxx to Celebrex, because they knew that Celebrex had a very much higher incidence of heart attack and stroke. And still, comparing Vioxx to Celebrex, it was a 3.7-fold increase of heart attack. And so what did they do? Why, they put it on the market. Then they did billions and billions of dollars with a full health and support of the Federal Drug Administration. That is what's so unconscionable about what's going on today. And they're killing people, and they know they're killing people, including Dr. Graham, between 30 and 40% of the people and who had heart attacks died. And he was saying that somewhere between 89 and 139,000 Americans died because of had a heart attack or stroke because of Vioxx, and 30 to 40% of them died. And you're not going to read anything at all about that in the controlled media in America today.
Yeah, and their own journal, the Journal of American. How many people died inadvertently having gone to a hospital? It's scary.
Well, of course, sometimes doctors can help you. I've had a couple of hip operations. I was an orthopedic surgeon. I helped an awful lot of people. But I look back in horror to think that I put some of those people onto fluoride because that's what they were doing at the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
I look back in horror at some of the medicines that we gave to people because that's what we were told to give people. Now, I think antibiotics are great. There are complications, but the cost, the risk-benefit ratio was always in favor of using the antibiotics. But some of the other medications that are being used now by the internists, and we've got everybody on high blood pressure medicine, and they've simply changed the definition of high blood pressure. They've got 20 million people on the statin drugs to lower cholesterol.
Yeah.
And how do they get them there? They changed the definition of hyperlipidemia, of the high cholesterol. They lowered the levels so they could get more people on, and they weren't interested in helping people. They were interested in profits.
That's bottom line. Are you aware, 60-some years ago, a man by the name of Royal Raymond Rife was curing cancer?
Yes, I am. And of course, if you use that, one of those machines today in California, why, they'll put you in jail. No, seriously, this is what we're up against. If I as a physician, and of course I would never do it, but if I were to recommend anybody take Laetrile, they would pull my medical license, and they would, of course, put me in jail for recommending that somebody at least consider trying Laetrile, because I would never recommend that to anybody, because I don't want to go to prison. But why not let people be foolish and try it? I know I happened to talk to Dr. Dean Burke, who was the head man at the NCI division, the National Cancer Institute division, where they studied chemotherapy. And he called me one morning and told me that he had a whole filing cabinet full of information on Laetrile. And he said that this had cured an awful lot of people, didn't cure everybody, but at least they weren't anywhere near as sick as they were on chemotherapy, and they didn't get intensely ill. And everybody who went on Laetrile felt better. Maybe they were going to die, but a lot of them didn't die. A lot of them got better. But, of course, he thought that there was a conspiracy, and they ridiculed and demonized Dean Burke. But he was a very, very courageous man, number one man at the National Cancer Institute. And I dare say there's not one in 1,000 doctors who ever heard of him or ever heard of Rife frequency generator.
Yeah. Well, we're fortunate. Rife's chief engineer, a man by the name of Ron Rockwell, lives here in Las Vegas. And I've had him on several times. And, Rife had created a telescope more powerful than anything today. It could see a living bacteria or virus. As a matter of fact, that telescope now sits in the Smithsonian Institute.
Is it really? I thought they'd confiscated it. Is that actually?
Well, the government went into his lab and destroyed everything they could get their hands on. But unbeknownst to them, Rockwell had a secret room upon the around. I've got a medal. Hold on. oh my. Anyway, the engineer had a secret room and saved a lot of the material and information.
I would love to get him on. Maybe you, off the air, you could give me his telephone
number. I'll be delighted to. He's a fascinating individual. And he has the lens, the heart of that telescope that now sits in the Smithsonian Institute. He has more things that the Rife Institute had, including the plaque on the outside of the door that Rife's center had. He's got total knowledge of everything Rife was doing, and Rife's partner, it'll all come back to me, I'm sure. But in any event, I learned more from him about the technology. I held the actual first Rife ray tube ever made by Rife himself in my hand. I felt so honored. And
Well, you know, we have a four tape set. It's an interview with a Dr. Dunnigan who, back in 1969, heard a talk given by Dr. Richard Day, who at that time was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day was talking to a group of physicians up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he said he worked for a group known as the Order, and that the Order had a plan. First of all, there were too many people in the world, so they were actively going to suppress treatments for cancer because people had to die of something. They might as well die of cancer, and they were going to, of course, keep treatments for cancer, effective treatments for cancer, secret, locked up in the Rockefeller Foundation. Now, we have a four-tape set. You can hear this four-tape set. We have a complete transcript of it. A little wonder, of course, I can't get the rife material. You can, of course, but they're always worried the FCC is going to come after the people who are offering the machines. No doctor dare recommend this sort of thing in America. Why? Well, because it works.
Yeah, it's that basic. It's that simple. It's a he discovered the frequencies that the various viruses live on, and he created a frequency that caused them to go splat. I have access to them. If anybody is interested, Ron Rockwell is his name. He's the chief engineer for the Rife Institute. I held the actual paper, not a copy, but the actual paper of the San Diego Union, where Rife was headlined. And it was working. I mean, he had a success rate like you wouldn't believe. But the government decided, no, that's not what we want. Let's get in there and ruin everything we can. And they did.
Of course,
Ron, and he was fortunate enough to preserve many of the things from the Rife Center.
Now, of course, what they're going to say is, well, we had to stop these quacks who were taking advantage of the people. You know, they were just doing everything they could, you know, to make money on them. Well, look and see what it costs for chemotherapy and for we have this medicine now for breast cancer that costs you $10,000 to $20,000 a year. We have, of course, all of these expensive medications that they have, and talk about surgery and hospitalization. But if you got something that'll cure people for a few dollars, they're not going to allow that to be put out.
No, unfortunately, that's the bottom line. It's really more about money than anything else. And I believe there is something called population control, and they do want to reduce the populace of the planet. When you discover that AIDS was created at Fort Detrick, Maryland, how many years ago, when I've spoken to people that were there,
Have you actually had some people actually tell you that they were there when they were working on it? Because I've talked to...
Yes, I have.
Well,
you know, my show is guest-driven, and I'm blessed to have people like yourself and Ron Rockwell and just a whole host of people over the years who are really... They know what they're saying. I never claim to be smart on any of this, but I've been very fortunate to get people like yourself who know what's going on and expose it on the program.
Well, actually, I've talked to, of course, Dr. Garth Nicholson has told me that several people have come to him, because he is an internationally known scientist, and several people who were working on the effort to build the HIV virus, this deadly virus which has killed over 20 million people, have come to him and said, we didn't know what we were doing. We thought this was all experimental. And then there's a book put out by Gary Glum called Full Exposure.
Yeah.
And he talks about, of course, a man that came to him. He was dying of cancer. And he said, I want you to know I was part of the group that created the AIDS virus. So there's enough evidence out there that, in fact, of course, we have the testimony before Congress of Dr. MacArthur back in, I believe it was in... let's see, that would have been June or July of 1969. We'll be glad to send that to any of you who would like to see Dr. MacArthur's testimony, where he asked Congress for $10 million to create a disease for which there would be no immune response. It would neutralize the immune system. And as he said, some people think we shouldn't do this because it's going to be another form of mass killing, but we want the money and we want to develop it. And, of course, it was about 7 years later when the first cases of AIDS, they weren't diagnosed. They knew that there was something that destroyed the immune system, and it was all in homosexuals. And, of course, later it was given to homosexuals in San Francisco, the hepatitis B vaccine. And the most amazing thing, I mean, this disease exploded in homosexuals. Why did it explode in homosexuals? Well, 75% of the homosexuals in San Francisco who took that hepatitis B vaccine, an experimental vaccine, 75% of them contracted AIDS. Uh-huh. And most of them are dead today. And you'll never hear that. I had the hardest time, but I got the figures, got the article from the Department of Health in San Francisco that verifies what I just told you. 75% of the homosexuals in San Francisco who took the experimental AIDS vaccine, hepatitis B vaccine, in 1979 and 1980, contracted AIDS, and most of them are dead today.
It's a heck of a commentary, isn't it?
And, of course, this was put forward by our U.S. Public Health Service.
Yeah. I've got a list of experiments, illegal experiments, on the American public that date back to the beginning of the 20th century. And just knowing it and looking at what they've done, you keep walking around in the days going, why? Why are we doing this? Why did they do this? Doesn't anybody care? They know what they're doing. Why in God's name are they doing this? Well, as you said so perfectly earlier, there are evil people in this world, and they happen to be in places of high authority. And that doesn't justify anything, but here we are, and our health situation, I know people are living longer, but I'm also aware that more people have more problems than at any time. I've often said, I think my grandparents and their parents knew more about health than the doctors out there in practice today. And I know there are some good doctors. I'm not liking the, you know, all of them, but doggone it, there's something so wrong. Our food supply, our food chain, we're eating genetically engineered food. We're eating food, you drink milk that has bovine growth hormone that made the cattle sick, so they have to put them on antibiotics. Well, guess what? It comes right in that carton of milk you're buying at your favorite local grocery store. What they're doing to the cattle in general, I mean, there's nothing natural left unless you find a good, what would you call it, an organic grocery store?
Health food store. Some of them, we have some pretty, very good ones here in Santa Cruz. Actually, of course, you can get organically grown food, and let's face it, there is something to be said for it. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, our guest this evening is Lou Epton, and he'll be with us for a while. And, of course, he may have to bow out before the evening is over, but right now we're having a fascinating discussion. Lou's talking about all the experiments that have been done on the American people. And, of course, do you want to talk about some of those experiments, Lou? Because the average individual finds it so difficult.
I'm away from my desk, my office. I don't have the material in front of me. I just I have a great recall in looking at this, and I'm going, they can't be serious about this, and yet every one of them is being documented. I have a friend here in Las Vegas who served in the Navy, all right, and they radiated the ship. It was an experimental ship. And the radiation, he was blanketed with it. And there's nothing that anybody, any doctor, any hospital, anywhere can do for him. But he feels himself slowly being deteriorating and getting weaker on a daily basis. And why? And according to his service record, there was no such ship, except he kept his Navy records. This goes back a number of years ago. It's just one example.
And, of course, we know about them feeding plutonium, a lace cereal to children, experiments, radiation experiments on children, the children at Willow Creek Orphanage. Of course, they fed them hepatitis B. They wanted to infect them, intentionally infected them with hepatitis A and hepatitis B, and we didn't recognize C at that time. It was non-A, non-B is what we called it. They intentionally infected these children, helpless children, the Tuskegee study, where they
where they
recruited a 400 black man who had syphilis, not to be treated, so that they could autopsy
syphilis.
Right.
And they wanted to see what would happen in the progression. I mean, how do you justify something like that?
Well, of course, in the name of science, and you know, the most scary part of this whole thing was we actually talked to James Jones, who had actually talked to many of these physicians who were involved, and they justified it in the name of scientists. And he asked one of the scientists, you know, what's the difference between what you did and what the Nazis did in the concentration camps? And the response was, well, they were Nazis.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr.
Doing Sam? Fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, this is kind of a comment, and then I'll be happy to listen to what you have to say about it. I saw Michael Crichton, the writer, this weekend on Book TV, and the day that he was giving his talk, he said the headline for the front page for the Washington Post was on global warming, and they said that even if the science isn't right, that President Bush should go along with it just for political expediency. And he said it's interesting that 60 years ago today is the day that Auschwitz was liberated.
Yeah.
And he said the reason that Auschwitz existed was because of politicized science. And is it Stan? Or, I'm sorry, who's your guest?
His new name is Lou Epton.
Lou, I looked at your website a while ago, Lou. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Anyway, he said, if you think about it, about 100 years ago is when the social Darwinism came in. And, of course, that's, I think, when a lot of the population control started. And I read your Beyond Population Control to my Sunday school class this weekend, Dr.
Stan. Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Lou Epton, and of course, Jim is calling us from Missouri, and he was commenting certainly about Michael Crichton's recent interview on Book TV. Michael Crichton has written a wonderful book on global warming, and he says it's a fraud. It really is not true at all. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then, of course, he's been up on Lou Epton's website. And then, of course, Jim was saying that he had read my material on population control to his Sunday school class. Pick up the story there, Jim.
People were amazed. They especially couldn't imagine someone like Jacques Cousteau saying that we need to kill about 350,000 folks a day.
Well, if you want to get that article, we'll actually send it to you. Just give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you at least the page out of the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991 where he said that. You've got to show it to people before they will believe it.
But I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about it, because Michael Crichton made the point the reason Auschwitz existed was because of politicized science.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that was my point, I'll listen off the air to hear what your comments are.
Thank you so much,
and bless you for the work you're doing.
Thanks so much, Jim. How would you respond then to Jim?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Auschwitz that was located on land owned by the IG Farben Corporation, the largest pharmaceutical house in the world. And it's interesting to note, at the height of the war, in World War II, we were not allowed to bomb IG Farben.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, you might call it that.
In fact, that's covered actually in Professor Sutton's work, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Go ahead.
Huh?
No, I think Professor Sutton mentions that in his book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. I just mentioned this for the people who wanted to check out what you were saying, and what you're saying is absolutely true. They were very selective in who we were allowed to bomb. We were not allowed to bomb the General Motors plant that was turning out the trucks and tanks for Adolf Hitler. We weren't allowed to bomb the Ford plant that was carrying out producing the trucks and the tanks for Adolf Hitler. We weren't allowed to bomb IG Farben because they had very close relationships with American corporations.
As a matter of fact, you know, they're vested in every pharmaceutical corporation worldwide. They're also invested in Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, General Electric. I mean, there's a list. They're probably the wealthiest. They recently split, not into two corporations. I'm speaking about Farben. They split into three corporations. I mean, and they're pretty big. But and they were supplying Hitler with all the materials he could use. but we weren't allowed to bomb them.
Right.
And I find that just a little bit curious. There's a lot of people. And when you mention the fact that Ford and General Motors were involved in building the trucks and other equipment for the Nazis, so was Xerox involved, so was General Electric involved. I mean, the list of American corporations involved is frightening.
Don't forget AT&T and...
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, some of our large banking industries and banking firms. So, and certainly Enron was deeply involved with this whole thing. Standard Oil California and Standard Oil Holdings, Rockefeller Holdings. And, of course, there's a wonderful book called Trading with the Enemy that points out we are not only traded with Adolf Hitler before, but during the war as well.
Doc, I'm going to have to excuse myself. I'm afraid I'm getting called.
Okay, fine. Well, you go ahead, but thank you so much for filling in. I really appreciate it.
I was honored to be invited. I appreciate you. I encourage everyone to stay tuned to you. I think you're doing a great job. Godspeed, and keep up the great work, and I thank you sincerely.
God bless you, and I hope you'll be on with us again, not in the too distant future.
It'd be my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Lou Epton. Of course, we hate to miss him here, but let me just point out that Jim was asking about this whole thing of global warming. And I would simply point out that global warming, of course, is one of the greatest scams ever foisted on the American people. Yes, there is global warming. We have been warming since 1600. We go through cycles. Back about 1,000 years ago, Greenland was called Greenland because Greenland was green. And when the Vikings went there, where they were growing, of course, they were growing grapevines and the lush foliage. And then we went into a long, about 600 years of global cooling. And then we began to reverse out about 1600. And we've been gradually warming ever since then. Long before there was CO2, long before there were fossil fuels, long before the automobile, the whole thing on global warming is an attack on the American economy. If we were to sign the Kyoto Protocol and go along with it, we would become a third world nation because we would have to cut our energy consumption. I'm going to ask Paul just to hang on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we welcome your calls because it's just going to be you and me for the next hour here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we lost Lou, but it's getting a little late over there, and so I appreciate him coming on and being with us for an hour and a half. But Paul is calling from Ohio. Paul, do you have how are you listening, shortwave or internet?
I'm listening to shortwave. I'm scared to buy an internet. A computer, they just scare me. I'm so... So sorry I couldn't talk to the gentleman. I've been honored to be able to talk to him.
He's a great man. He's been at this for many, many years and does a great job. And certainly you can hear him there on the internet. As he says, he's a one-man operation. Fortunately, I've got a wife that does most of the work. She's the brains behind the organization. So you can get our archive programs on the internet. But if you can have a chance to listen to Lou, he does a great job. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'd like to talk about that, I can't pronounce the name of it or spell it, that generator.
Oh, you're talking about the Rife frequency generator?
How do you spell that? R-I-E?
R-I-F-E. Raymond Royal Rife was, I think, was his name. Royal, or maybe it was just Raymond Royal Rife, R-I-F-E frequency generator, right.
Are they still available?
Well, they are available, and you could call me off the air, and I could get you the telephone number. There's several places that make them today. They keep a very low profile because they're frightened the FDA is going to come after them. After all, if it works, they don't want it.
I know.
But, of course, if it's Bioxin, it's going to kill a lot of people.
Of
course, we're all in favor of that. If it's Celebrex, going to kill a lot of people, well, they're all in favor of that. I mean,
you know,
the stat drugs work by poisoning your liver. And they tell you, we're here to help you. You know, we're from the government. We want to make you feel better, so we want to make sure you live longer. And so we want to poison your liver. And of course, when we do that, of course, we actually lower the cholesterol level. Cholesterol is important in production of testosterone and progesterone, the hormones that separate men and women, and then we wonder why so many men have sexual dysfunction today. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Actually, mercury lowers the testosterone level. Aspartame lowers the testosterone level. Fluoride lowers the testosterone level. And do you know that some of our athletes are actually taking testosterone?
Oh, boy. I don't know what it's coming to, Dr. Stan.
Well, all we can do, of course, we've got the scientific studies, because if I got up here and I made these statements and I couldn't back them up, why, I'd be leaving myself wide open for criticism, but I'm not going to get up here if I don't have a good source of information. So our job and your job is to help us get the information out, because we've got the facts. You just got to help us get it out.
I'm trying, Dr. Stan. They gave me piles of Celotex and Vioxin. I can't remember which was which. One of them came in a reddish-orange box, and they gave me a whole shopping bag full of this stuff, and I took the instructions out. May cause cardiac arrest, may
Hold
cause death.
Well, of course, you know, you're one of those suspicious people who actually read the insert. I did that when they tried to give me the high blood pressure medicine. I said this, and this man was my friend. He's a good intern. He's a good cardiologist. And I just wouldn't take his medicine. I read what the insert said, and my chances of getting the problem were far greater with the high blood pressure medicine. For blood pressure, I've had a blood pressure of 150 over 80 to 90 for 50 years. If they want to lower that, I'm 76 years old. Why would they possibly want to lower my blood pressure?
Well, they figure
save my life.
They figure something's wrong with your picture, and you've been around too long, and they really want to do away with all of us. They put me on Coumadin one time when I had some kind of a problem. I had a blood clot. And I found out the Coumadin was rat poison.
It is, but of course, there is a place for Coumadin. Certainly, you know, if you have an embolus, you want to do something, but what you want to do is avoid getting the thrombophlebitis so that the embolus doesn't get loose there. And of course, you want to get out of bed as soon as you can. But there are other things that will thin the blood. For instance, garlic will thin the blood. There's a number of things that will thin the blood. Aspirin will thin the blood.
Are we on the air or off?
You are on the air.
Oh, on the air. Well, I was trying to figure out how I could talk to you off the air.
I will go ahead and be glad to give you to my producer, and he will go ahead and get your number, and I'll give you a call after the program, okay?
Thank you so very much, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to ask my producer to pick up the program, pick up the call from Paul there. And if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, because of course we're lost our guest and our first guest didn't show up, and so we can just sort of talk about some of these health issues if you'd like. Really, one of the most interesting things I've read in a long time was Dr. David Graham's testimony before the Senate committee here about, maybe a month to 6 weeks ago. Now, Dr. David Graham is the Associate Director of Drug Research at the Federal Drug Administration, so he obviously was a key individual, and he had been complaining about the release of Vioxx for years. And as he said, it would appear, first of all, they knew that there was a sevenfold increase in heart attacks using Vioxx. And so he had opposed the use of this, but they went ahead and they put it out anyway. And, of course, people were dying, and they keep studying this, and more people were dying. And so finally it got to the point where, they did everything. They put every turn of the study together they possibly could to prove that, for one reason or another, Vioxx was not killing people, and all the studies show that it was a dramatic increase in death. And they knew about it, and the FDA knew about it, and everybody was covering it up. So certainly they knew that, first of all, that Dr. Graham had written a paper without the permission of the people in the FDA. It was going to be published by a major medical magazine. Now, it takes about a year from the time you submit that, but it goes through all the peer review, and then it has to get on the list, and it's going to be coming out. So they knew the article was coming out. They knew that Dr. David Graham was going to testify before the Senate. So just before he testified, or just after he testified, why Merck full of their medication. Now, what Dr. Graham said was this, that between 89,000 and 139,000 Americans had suffered either a heart attack or a stroke, a referable to Vioxx. And of those, 30 to 40% had died. Of those, 30 to 40% had died. Now, I've read a lot of articles about this, but to get the information, you actually have to get Dr. David Graham's testimony. You can find it up on the Internet if you can't. We do have that, and we'll be actually publishing that in our syllabus we're putting together on fluoride, because this is such an example of one of the great cover-ups of all time. And yet, of course, the cover-up of the Vioxx, with the fact that 30 to 40% of the people who had either the stroke or the high blood pressure died, pales into insignificance when you figure what they've done with fluoride and water fluoridation in America today. 67% of the water supply of the United States is fluoridated, despite the fact that they know that it has a profound impact on fertility. It lowers fertility, both in human beings, and that was Dr. Frenney's work, and of course they know it lowers fertility in animals, and there are a number of studies that show it lowers fertility and leads to miscarriages in animals. They know, of course, that it lowers the intelligence, and of course there's studies, Dr. Phyllis Mullenecker's studies, she works at the Forsyth Dental Research Institute back in Boston. She also had an appointment at Harvard, and she was one of the rising stars in research until she did a study that showed that if you had rats drink fluoridated water, and the rat was pregnant, the offspring was hyperactive through their whole life. If the offspring was a male and, of course, started drinking fluoridated water after it was born, then it became a couch potato and it just never wanted to do anything. It wasn't it just really suppressed the activity of that rat. So she wanted to publish this article. She was told she couldn't do it, and she published it anyway, and they fired her. Why? Because the last thing they want the American people to know is they're poisoning the minds of our children. Now, the studies, of course, have been done in China. There are two of them, and we will include those in the syllabus we're putting together. Both of them are done in China, where they've studied the children in areas where they fluoridated water, and this is about 3 parts per million, but our children are getting far more than that, because they put the fluoride not only in the water, they put it in the toothpaste, they spray it on our vegetables, we drink it in our grape juice, we eat it in our various types of cereals. In fact, we want less of all the substances that are heavily fluoridated, they're really frightening. So our children are getting a lot more than the 3 parts per million that they're getting in China, where they drop 10 points in their IQ on average, and there are no geniuses at all in these areas where the water is heavily fluoridated. They're geniuses in other parts of China, and the children there have normal IQs, but in the fluoridated areas, they lose about 10 points in IQ. And then we wonder why American children do so poorly in competition with children from other countries, from Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia and the rest of Europe. Our fourth grade students do poorly, our eighth grade students do worse, and our high school seniors cannot compete with children from other countries in Europe. Now, Europe does not have fluoridated water. There are only, 10% of England is fluoridated. They've fluoridated North Ireland, and the English have done that, I believe, intentionally and purposely, because they don't want, because Ireland has been in revolt against England. Fluoridate their water, you hope to slow them down and make them more tranquil, more malleable. We have a letter that was written by Dr. Perkins back in 1945, who was sent by our government over to Germany to study IG Farben and what they were doing, and he found out that IG Farben had been working with Adolf Hitler, and they realized the profound impact that fluoridated water, that small amounts of fluoride, had on the mind. And Adolf Hitler was fluoridating the water in the occupied countries, not in Germany itself. They didn't want to, of course, to injure the minds of the people in Germany. They wanted to damage the minds of the people in the occupied areas, just exactly as Margaret Thatcher fluoridated the water in Northern Ireland. Did they know what they're doing? Of course they knew what they were doing. They did not want the American people to know that. And there are a number of studies. And if you read my December newsletter, which is simply Dr. Hersey, William Hersey's testimony before a Senate committee in the year 2000, and William Hersey is a scientist who works for the EPA in water, investigating the effect of water fluoridation. And he is the vice president of their union, the scientists there, who've been trying to get this information out to the American people, totally blocked by the controlled media because they don't want you to know they're poisoning your children. Get a copy of my December newsletter. It's on my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. If you can't get it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a copy of my December newsletter, but pull it down off the Internet if you can, because it's an expensive proposition for us to have to send it out to you, and it costs us a dollar for every call you put in to our exchange, so you can help us by getting it off the Internet. But if you need the article, it's up there. We'll send it to you. Dr. William Hersey said there's 10 studies. Pardon me, there's 6 studies that show the profound impact of water fluoridation on the mind. They're poisoning the minds of our children. Maggie from Texas. What part of Texas are you from, Maggie?
Central Texas.
And, of course, how are you listening to us, shortwave or Internet?
I'm listening to you via micro broadcasting.
Okay, fine. It's good to have you. Have a comment?
Yes, please. It's when I was a kid growing up post-World War II, my Midwestern city, not in Texas, was among the first to fluoridate. I remember that discussion quite distinctly. And despite all these horrible things that fluoridation does, and I have no doubt that what you're saying is correct, I grew up healthy, and most of my classmates and the people I knew grew up healthy and bright and fertile and had no problems in that generation. So my question would be, we must have had some sort of protection or immunity then that the kids today lack, children today lack.
Well, the thing is, of course, what they're doing now, of course, they, what year was this, of course, you were born?
Okay, I will tell you. I would say...
Would you say it would be 30 years ago?
It's more than that.
40 years ago. Okay,
more
fine.
Than that.
Well, okay. In those days, of course, what we did, of course, to control our pests, we used DDT for a pesticide at that time.
Yes.
When they outlawed DDT, which was a very, very benign pesticide, you could eat teaspoonfuls of DDT, they wouldn't hurt you at all. But, you know, what we did then, we started spraying all the vegetables with fluoride. Now, vegetables are too smart.
Oh.
They're too smart to absorb fluoride from the soil. Fluoride's in the soil, but plants will not absorb it. The only plant that I know that will absorb it is tea. So plants would not have any fluoride in them, but they sprayed them now with the fluoride pesticides, and so you get, of course, a great deal of fluoride in your vegetables, because it's your leafy vegetables. It's all there. They spray it on there. They put the fluoride into your cereals. They put the fluoride into your juices. If you, for instance, are drinking many of the orange juices and grapefruit juices that are made from concentrates, they all have high doses of fluoride in them. And then, of course, about 20, 25 years ago, they introduced the fluoridated toothpaste. So what you're doing is getting accumulative poison.
Well, now, does rinsing your vegetables help, or is...
It'll help, but it won't get them all off of there.
Out.
Certainly, you'd be foolish not to rinse them, and probably ought to take out the outer leaves. You know, certainly it's there, and you're getting the fluoridation, and it's not good for you. How long were you there before you actually moved out of that area?
I was there until I was about 20.
I see. Now, did you have any dental cavities?
Yeah, I did, and I have some fillings too. That's another thing. We used Rethylate in those days,
right.
And Purichrome, and we put it right into our mouths, and it's still. Autism didn't come along till sometime later.
No, of course it didn't, but of course it really came along when they started injecting it into our children
in
the vaccines. And when they, we're here from the government, we're here to help you. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. Well, you can go back and you can read my articles. I have the government records. The incidence of disease was falling so rapidly. that probably if they hadn't introduced the vaccines when they did, they couldn't have justified them at all. By the time they got around to the measles vaccine, 30 children a year in the entire United States were dying of measles. And, of course, there really wasn't any need for the vaccine because children, because of the increased nutrition and better health, were not getting the communicable diseases. And they just were not dying. They were not being invalided as much as they had been in years past. So most of these vaccines that they introduced, and then, of course, they put the thimerosal into, really were not necessary.
Yes. Well, thank you, sir. I've learned something today.
Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you so very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And of course, all across America, people are growing up drinking fluoridated water. And if you've got an IQ of 140 and you knock off 10 points, that's 130. That's pretty good. You're not having any trouble with that. What we found out, of course, when you drink fluoridated water, it increases the incidence of cancer in animals, osteogenic sarcoma, certain types of hepatic carcinoma in certain animals. Dr. Dean Burke, who I mentioned earlier, and Dr. Yamianis, did studies, and they found that in cities that were fluoridated, the incidence of overall cancer was significantly higher than in comparable cities that did not have fluoridated water. And, of course, what you're doing is you're attacking the enzymatic structure of every organ, every tissue, every cell in the body with fluoride. And, of course, we believe this is carcinogenic. The scientific studies show this, but they had to suppress this information. And then, of course, we know that it attacks the bone. And, of course, there are a number of studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association that point out that in areas with fluoridated water, why you almost double the incidence of hip fractures in older women and in older men compared with cities that are not fluoridated. And certainly the bones become more brittle. Now, of course, there is something known as fluorosis. And then you look at the bone on x-ray and it's a dead white instead of being sort of gray, where you can separate the cortex of the bone from the center of the bone, why the whole bone looks sort of like marble or chalky white. In appearance, that is a skeletal fluorosis. But even when, of course, you don't have that dramatic effect, why you do change the structure of the bone. And the fluoride then competes with the calcium. The bone becomes much more brittle and it breaks much more readily. And there's a marked increase in the incidence of fractures in the area of fluoridated water. And then there is a premature aging in the areas of China. And Dr. Kennedy, we have a great video. You'll actually see that. If you get the video we carry on fluoride, well, you'll actually see what in China, what happens to the teeth. You'll see what happens to the bodies of these people, and they're all bent over, and they're bent over because of the effect of skeletal fluorosis there. And so you get premature aging, you get arthritis, you get a swelling and pain in the joints. All of these things are direct byproduct of water fluoridation in China, and you'll actually see those pictures. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927. And ask for that DVD that we offer on water fluoridation, as well as we have 2 4 tape sets on water fluoridation. We have a book, The Fluoride Deception. We have another book, The Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. We've got Joe calling from upstate New York. Are you listening to us up there in that Albany station?
Actually, no, Dr. Stan, over the Internet.
Okay, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I want to know how the fluoride gets into our food through cooking with aluminum. And is Teflon-coated aluminum any better? Will it block?
No. Teflon the real problem with Teflon coated any product. There's certain things that come off of the Teflon that are not good for you. Aluminum, probably not the best thing in the world for you, although we do use some aluminum cooking items. But if you have fluoride and aluminum together, they are a gruesome twosome, because the fluoride then carries the aluminum into the brain, and then you get the real problem. So you certainly do not want to have fluoridated water and boiled in aluminum, because you pick up any aluminum there, then it gets directly into the brain. Fluoride acts as a carrier for the aluminum.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
And so the real problems with all of these things, and a lot of these things are covered in Dr. Blaylock's excellent book. If you haven't read Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, this is one of my favorite books, and there's so much information in there, information that you need, everybody needs to have. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and there really is great information there.
All right. I will definitely look that up.
Okay, fine. And then is there anything else you'd like to ask?
No, thanks.
All right, fine. Thanks so much. And well, first, your job out there in the listening audience, if you're listening on the Internet, is to tell other people about Radio Liberty and get them listening on a regular basis. This is how we're reaching people out across America, is people telling people telling people. We don't have the money to advertise in the big newspapers. We're not going to get on to Oprah. In fact, the last time I did a program, a nationwide television program, was the Jane Whitney program. You remember the Jane Whitney program? Well, of course you don't. That was one of the last programs that Jane Whitney ever did. I'll never forget. They took me back to New York, and they took me from the airline in a great big long white stretch Cadillac, and they put me up in one of the best hotels there, and we were on that program, and I took over the program, and it had to do with discrimination, and there were, half the audience was loaded with gays. They were complaining about discrimination against them because they had HIV, and I of course didn't defend the discrimination. I just said we had to be logical. We had a major epidemic, and Jane Whitney allowed me, of course, to speak out on a number of occasions. I dominated the program, and very shortly thereafter, Jane Whitney, who did a great job. I mean, she was like Oprah, only lots better. Jane Whitney ceased to be on the television, so you're not going to see me on national television. Haven't been on there. Well, I think I was on one time and Unscrewed. I had 6 minutes and never been asked again. I don't anticipate it, but you tell other people about Radio Liberty. Get them listening on shortwave or on the Internet, and we'll get them educated for you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And of course, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, and you don't have access to the Internet, of course you can pull our newsletters down from our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. But if you'd like, of course, to get a free copy of the newsletter, our November newsletter is this fluoride story. The December newsletter is Dr. Hersey's testimony before the Senate back in the year 2000. The January newsletter is my book review of Joseph Perkins' book, Economic Hitman, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy of any of these by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope maybe you'd like even to subscribe to our newsletter, and of course, we give you our permission to copy the newsletter. You have the permission to copy any of the videos or the 4 tape sets we've made, as long as you're not making a profit, and help us to get the information out. One of the things you can do, if you're possibly able to, is to get a case of the books. We're printing them and of course we've been able to get them at a phenomenally low price by printing enough of the books. So if you'd like to get a case of 62 copies of The Brotherhood of Darkness, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. To get the details, you can afford to give those books out. Get people. Don't just give them out. Ask them what they think about it. Ask them to report back to you. Tell them you'd like to know what they think about the book. And if they will read the book, they will begin to understand what we are really up against. Because we're not up against, the people who want to create the project for the New American Century, although they're part of the problem. But we're not simply up against the Masons or the Theosophists or the Rosicrucians. We're up against a number of organizations, all of the ones I mentioned, and many others. But they all have a common spiritual foundation. They all have a common goal, a new world order, a new world religion. And they're using the military and financial power of the United States to force all nations into the world government. Everything is in place now. They really don't need America much anymore. The one thing they fear is the American people may wake up and thwart their plans, and that's why they're out to bankrupt this country, to lower our living standards so you'll be so poor that you're not going to have any time to worry about these ideas. You'll be just struggling to feed your family. You'll be weak because they're promoting new diseases. Could anything be this evil? And I would say, of course it can, because the brotherhood of darkness is inherently evil. In fact, the common denominator behind everything going on in the world today is evil. And when you understand that, then everything makes sense, because if you're looking for a rational explanation, there is no rational explanation. But, of course, as it was written, James Russell Lowe wrote, about this whole idea, for once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide, and that strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside until the multitudes make virtue of the faith he has denied. Though the cause of evil prospers, yet his truth alone is strong, though a portion be the scaffold and upon the throne be wrong. But that scaffold sways the future, for in the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch upon his own. Though the cause of evil prospers, yet his truth alone is strong, though a portion be the scaffold and upon the throne be wrong. But that scaffold sways the future, for in the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch upon his own. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, our web space, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.